Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Barker. And today I'm going to pick up the conversation back from where we left off last time with Bo Poxtefel, the CEO of Contentino. Let's get started. But I want to talk a little bit about the client agency relationship, because I know you have a lot of, you know, because obviously a lot of the big brands that you guys have worked with, and you guys have really learned how to really how to make it better for people to communicate when it comes to clients and agencies. Because there's always, not always a disconnect, but there, you know, it's like expectation and price and then what's really is going to be done and how things are going to be able to do that. So give us, can you give us some, like, give us a little intel on, like, when it comes to, like, brands and agency side marketers, like, when they're talking about establishing a stronger relationship, what are some of the key components to making this happen?
I think there's just one, and that's trust. I mean, you need to trust each other in creating things. So, but I would maybe elaborate on that. What this trust really means? It consists from credibility and some kind of transparency and reliability. So you really need to be on board. Basically, you need to have a common goal, and that creates this trust. What is destroying trust? I would say that there's one key element, and agencies and brands need to be careful about that. And it's some kind of self-orientation. So you are starting to create your own goals. Example, extreme example, that the agency is not thinking about the business goals or the goals of the client, but thinking about the awards, right? So let's create this brilliant idea, but which is going to win plenty of awards, but at the end, not helping clients that much. So making sure that they have the common goals, same goals, and that there's a really strong trust.
Yeah, we talk about proper expectation, right? What do you expect to get out of this? I mean, that really what it, because if your goals are totally different than my goals, then guess what? You're going to always be disappointed and I'm always going to be excited, or you're going to be excited and I'm going to be disappointed. Really, and it comes down to that clear communication of being able to understand, like, hey, like with us, we always send questions out and we say, like, what would be a home run for us? Like, really, what is your goals? I want to know, like, you know, at the end of the day, if we did this in 6 months, what would make you happy? What would be like, this was a home run? And that's, I think, that's a lot of the times that relationship, it's hard to, people don't always flesh that out. And so when you have a result, there's somebody that's happy. And if you, the agency is happy and the brand is not happy, I can tell you what happens there. You're not going to get them as a client again, right? Yeah. And so it's like, how are you going to be able to hit a goal if you guys don't know what your client's looking for? So I love that. So when we talk about collaboration and approval process, obviously that's what you guys have built the business model off of. And what do you think, I mean, I guess you kind of touched on it already. It's kind of like trust. It's like, hey, you know, building that trust and transparency and looking at proper expectation. Is there anything else that you think that can make a relationship stronger between agencies?
Yeah, I think that when you think about it, at the beginning of the whole campaign, there's a brief, right? Then you get a brief from a client, then you shoot out some ideas. And at the end, you have the analyzing of the campaign, you have reporting to the client if the campaign was good. But where the real interaction happens, it's right in the middle. It's when you are executing the campaign. And that's why it's so key to have some solution for it, or have some processes or workflow set, which is transparent. That's where you communicate with your clients the most, is during the execution. And you want to have a client involved in the execution, and finding this balance where to invite or where to involve the client in during the execution is a key to building the trust.
Yeah, because you make them part of the process, right? So they can feel like they're part of that process. So what would you say, Winston, because of your background and what you guys have built, what were some, like, the common mistakes that agencies make when working with clients? Like, what are some of the common things you see? I talk about expectation, but what are some of the things on your side that you're like, you know, I see a lot of, you know, agencies that are messing up here when it comes to clients, and you got any good intel there?
I think that there are two most common mistakes. The first one we already mentioned, that they don't understand the business of the client. They don't understand the target audience. They don't understand the product. They don't understand the goals. That's the first mistake and the most common one. And the second one is, how to say it? It's polishing the results of a campaign. This is happening quite a lot, that at the beginning are set some kind of vague KPIs, I would say. And at the end, the agency is presenting that the goal was met, but they're tweaking the results. I can't tell you, I'm trying to think about example, but I can think of one. The most common is that agency is creating video, and now the client, the brand, is asking, so how many people have seen the video? The video is 3 minute long. And then you're going to present that, okay, this video was seen by, let's say, 10,000 people. It's a good result, right? But what you are presenting, that you are presenting video views, which is only 3 seconds of the video out of those 3 minute videos. And this kind of banding the presentation of the metrics to the client is very common. If the client would say, like, okay, so what is the average watch time of a video? And they would say, well, it's only 10 seconds. The client wouldn't be really happy because they haven't seen the 3 minute video, or they haven't seen the key message out from the video. So I think that this banding and presentation of the key of the metric is very common.
Yeah, and I, you know, we get that. Another example, and I think like SEO, and I see this when people will come to us and say, hey, you know, can you guys take a look at what this SEO company is doing to see if they're doing a good job or not? And I'm like, well, send me the report. And they're like, hey, you're number one for blue widgets. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys don't sell blue widgets. Like, who cares that you're number one for that keyword? Like, it, you know, it's like they're showing you this and you're number one for all this stuff. And that's, I guess, awesome, but it's not. Like, there's no intent with that keyword. And so for us, that's what we get all the time, is people come to us and they go, yeah, but we're number one for these 80 keywords. And I go, who cares? Like, I don't mean to be rude, but it's like, yeah, that's not, how much traffic, I mean, how many people are you driving from that? Like, I could be number one for, you know, cool kids, but I don't really care about cool kids because that's not going to drive clients. It's not going to bring me clients. Like, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Somebody thinks I'm a cool kid, but that's not a high intent keyword. And so we see that a lot of the time too. It's like, understand what your goal is and understand the questions that you need to ask to understand if it was a successful campaign, like Facebook ads. And not to go heavy on this, but Facebook ads will say, hey, there was, you know, 2 million people that saw your ad. Okay, but what does that mean? Like, I care about conversions and stuff. I don't care about how many eyeballs, mm-hmm. unless it's just branding and I've got millions of dollars. I'm Coca-Cola and I'm like, who cares? It is what it is. Like, I want to know, like, what, like, you know, once again, you talk about it, like, great. There's a huge difference between seeing 3 seconds of the video and seeing 1 minute of the video or 2 minutes of that video, right? Like, I get this is how many people saw it, 3 seconds, but 3 seconds isn't going to make an impact. Like, I don't care about any of that. I want to know person at the 1 minute, 2 minutes, and I want to know who finished the video. Was the video so compelling that we had 30% of the people that finished it, which is actually not a bad number. So yeah, it comes down to, and I think a lot of brands don't know those types of questions to be able to really understand that. They look at it and they get these metrics and they go, yeah, this is great. And it's like, well, but as an agency, I look at it, I go, but it's not really great. Let me explain to you why that is. So I could see that agents, well, you know, agencies are famous for, you know, twisting the data around a little bit and making it look like they're doing a phenomenal job.
But when you think about it, agencies are experts many times in a very narrow field, right? Like social media, digital agencies. And when you think about brand managers who are running the brand marketing, they need to know things about buying media in TV, digital marketing, search engine optimization, point of sale. So they have very wide scope of what they need to understand. So it's kind of, and when you think about social media and paid social media, it's kind of difficult to understand. You need to learn what all those tens and tens, if not hundreds, of metrics really mean. And yeah. What agencies should do, they should educate their clients as well and share the knowledge with them.
That's the key. That really is. I always tell people, like the clients that we have, I go, listen, I'm going to educate you enough. And if you feel that you're smart or smarter than me and you can go do it on your own, you absolutely can do that. But I want you to know that whole process. It's infamous for content writing and SEO. It's like most people that hire us have feel they've been abused by another agency. And then I just tell them, yeah, this is what you have to look at. These are the questions you have to ask, not to get the business and screw another company over, but it's like, this is what you should be asking. Like, you really should know what they're doing and whether it's good or bad for your company. Because most people go, I've hired an SEO company, I've been working with them for 1 year, and I'm like, how's everything going? They're like, I don't know, not really sure. I'm not really sure what to look at. And then I go, okay, well, these are the questions to ask. Once again, not to throw anybody under the bus. And then there's the other side of it. There's a client that says, you know, hey, I'm paying $100 a month. I wonder why I'm not getting results. And I'm like, it's because you're paying $100 a month. Like, you know, you can't expect miracles to happen at that budget either. So there's always an education. If they're paying good money and not seeing results, hey, let's talk about that. Or if you're not paying enough money, you're not going to see results for 10 years anyway. So you can just keep paying $100 and, you know, and kind of figure that out. So what would be, and you've been very modest about Contentino. I want to tell me what the, because I want to know, like, if we have brands and agencies that are listening right now, like, How is it the solution? Like, give us, because you've been like, oh, you know, you kind of talk about other softwares and yeah, we do this. You're being very modest. And I know the power of what you guys have built. So kind of tell me, like, how, for if I'm an agency or a brand, why would I want to sign up with you guys? Like, what's the deal? Don't be humble. This is no time to be humble. This is you to lay it on the line. People are listening.
Yeah, there shouldn't be agency and brand not using so software solution like us. I mean, you need to have a solution for your workflow. I mean, I know many agencies and brands are using Buffer, Hootsuite, and then using Excel sheets or Trello or Asana, but it doesn't really solve much, right? It's a pain in the ass. Ask your social media managers who need to use different tools for that and looking for emails and looking for those tasks. I mean, having everything in Contentino is like Asana and Buffer would have a baby. So having
very cute baby, very attractive baby, like a model baby.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the main reason. I mean, you have everything, the whole process you have in one place. It's transparent. You don't do mistakes. Plus you look very innovative in the eyes of your clients. As well, you are inviting clients somehow into the whole process, which is what is very attractive for many of clients of the agencies. They want to, some of them are kind of proactive. They want to create posts and stuff like that. But with Contentino, we won't let them, but they will still have a chance to kind of observe and take a sneak peek what's in the kitchen. And yeah, it's just a big, big added value for the agency and for the client. All the mentions, well, because all the things I mentioned before. And there plus, what I forgot to mention, we just did this big survey on our clients and our users, and we found out that Contentino saves from 30 to 40% on operational tasks. So they could actually, thanks to Toggle and all of these time trackers, they could actually track how much time they were spending before on redundant, unnecessary tasks, operational tasks. And it was reduced quite a lot. And this time can be used for the important tasks, for the creativity, for the building relationship with a client. So, and this is a big deal. I mean, 30, 40% of time is quite a lot.
It's time and money, right? Like your time and the process, and also having a happy brand and having, you're working with them because, you know, great, you're saving time and money, but if you have a brand that's pissed off, like, that doesn't equal it. The idea is you can make the brand happy. They can be a part of that whole process, feel like they're being validated, being listened to, and you save time and money. Like, what are we talking about here, folks? Like, you guys, this is like, how is this not a green light for everybody to go check it out?
And what is really important thing also to mention is that we initially built Contentino for the clients, right? For the brands. What I want to say by that is that we built Contentino with the mindset of that it has to be extremely intuitive, because clients like brand managers, they have their Excel sheets, they have their tools. They don't want to be overloaded and learning new tools. And this is what the client roles in Contentino I appreciate the most, that it's very, very user-friendly, it's very bold, and at the same time, very powerful. So many times when we are having leads and they're asking, like, what about the client onboarding and stuff like that, we tell them, we onboard them, give us 15 minutes with them. We call them, we show them, and within 15 minutes, they understand how it works. And if they really want to have a call, because they just get an invitation, they just hop in, and it's very intuitive. They can understand within a few minutes what they have to do. Click button approve, click button reject, write a comment, write an inspiration. That's it.
I love it. See, keeping it simple, folks. The process doesn't have to be a nightmare, because I can guarantee there's plenty of people that it's a nightmare for them right now. And it sounds like the process and onboarding is an easy way to go. So tell me about Contentino. Like, what do you guys got in the future? What are you guys going to be putting on features-wise? I mean, just stuff you can tell us. You know, none of the secret stuff that you guys are working on. But what other stuff you guys have going?
I'm very, very transparent and open.
I can tell. Software.
Yep. we are currently launching, in December, we are launching early access to a Contentino ads planner, which is going to be actually for paid ads. Mm. And this is going to be a game changer. I'm extremely excited about this one, because there is no tool solving collaboration approvals when it comes to what we are using when you are doing Facebook ads. It's Facebook Ad Manager or Business Manager. And then what you're using is Asana, Excel, emails, some same shit. Sorry, my French, but
no, that's what I was thinking.
You have to do with organics. And I think that this is going to be game changer. So if anyone interested, just shoot us a message in our chat on Contentino that you are interested in early access. And also the view is going to be, oh, it's just going to be lovely. I'm already using it, by the way, because I still execute some campaigns myself, just to keep myself as a user, keep myself busy, and this is the thing what we are launching in December, and maybe there's a teaser that we will have something for freelancers, because yes, we are team oriented, and I want to say that maybe we will not forget about, we will bring something delightful for freelancers as well next year. But
so you guys have conquered the social media space. Now you're jumping into paid ads and you guys want to conquer that. Cause it's the same broken problem. It's the approval process. It's collaboration. It's like, how do you share that with a client once you've created an ad, and then how do they approve it? How do they write comments? Like the collaborative space. And so I could see how that's a no brainer for you guys. You guys will also put in the show notes, we'll also put the link down below, so you guys can just click on that and go over there and take a look at that. So, all right. So Bo, this has been fun, bud. This is awesome. And you were humble too long there for a little bit, buddy. I can't have you be humble that whole time. You got to talk about how awesome that tool was. And then you finally broke out and said, everybody needs this tool today. And I'm like, there we go. That's what I like to hear. So let's talk about, this is kind of, we call this as our little fun section. So I got a few questions for you. Nothing too difficult, all stuff that you're going to be able to answer, but I'm a big reader. Well, let me take that back. I don't read a lot of books. I listen to audibles, because if I go to read a book, I think about 27 other things that I should be doing. So I drive in my car and I listen to an audible book. I try to do one a weekend. So what is one of your favorite books? What is a book that you're reading that you're like, man, this thing, it changed my life?
Predictably Irrational from Dan Ariely.
That's behavioral it, huh?
Economics. I love it. I've read it twice already. I'm not a big reader as well, but I've read this book twice, and all these books around nudging and customer psychology is something I'm very passionate about. So yeah, definitely recommend.
Then we'll do this. We'll put a link in our in the show notes as well for that as well. Cause I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go get that book. I'm always looking for suggestions. I have this long list and I just keep, you know, I think for every one I read, I add like five or something. So I'm only behind maybe 600 books at this point, which I'll catch up probably someday. If I'm sick for like 7 years, I'll be able to catch up, but I'll add that to my list. So my other question is this, I always like asking people this, is if you were to have dinner with three people and that's dead or alive, and this can be anybody. I've had people say presidents, I've had people say religious figures, I've had, you know, their mom who's gone. Like if there was three people you could have dinner with, dead or alive, who would that be and why?
I would love to meet Pope John the Second, definitely. Even though I'm atheist, you know, but I would love to talk to him.
I've got some questions for him.
What is it?
I said you got some questions for him.
Well, no, the questions. It would be just very interesting discussion.
Educational.
How he approaches different religions, and yeah. So definitely. Then Elon Musk. Again, I'm not a really big fan. I'm not crazy about him, but I disagree in some of his ideas. I have a disagreement and I don't think that some of his ideas are the best, but I see what he's doing and he's amazing. He's so talented when you think about it, what he's done. So definitely Alan would be on the list. And the third one is Jan Verich. He is a Czech figure. He lived in 1920th century, and he was the most famous actor in times of between the world wars. Mm-hmm. And he've got a lot of bright ideas and views on how to live life. Jan Verich, I know you probably don't know him, I'm pretty sure, but he's quite well known. He was quite well known in Czechoslovakia. And yeah, talking about life with him would be, I think, very interesting.
I might have to look him up, man. I'm always looking for different cultures and different people that make impacts on communities and areas of the world. And so that's, I'll have to look him up too, man. I'm always looking for a different perspective on everything, life and business and personal and all the fun stuff. So Bo, if anybody wants to get in contact with you, obviously we're going to put the website down below. We'll put down some of your book recommendations and some other stuff. If people need to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Just add me on LinkedIn. I know that you couldn't pronounce my name. It's quite difficult, I know. So if you're going to type in Bohumil Pokštefl, that's how you pronounce it, then you're going to find me on LinkedIn. But just go through Constantino. You can find links there.
We'll do this. We'll add your LinkedIn down there as well. Because once again, if anybody's as challenged as I am when it comes to either speaking or writing, I'll probably put extra A's and O's and then I would never find you, which I think we're already connected on LinkedIn. But all right, you guys, so we'll add that in the show notes, you guys. And if you guys like listening to the podcast and you like what you hear, make sure you guys subscribe, write some comments too over there in Apple and all the other fun stuff. If you don't like the podcast, don't write a comment. Do not write a comment. But if you love a podcast, and I really need you to write a comment, right? I want you guys to get in there. So Bo, hey man, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I know that it was hard to get you on here because you're a very popular guy working on all kinds of cool software. Good things are happening over there. And thank you once again for being on the podcast, my friend.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Before I sign off, I wanted to remind my listeners that you can reach out to my team for any services related to SEO, PR, content marketing, influencer marketing, and social media. We can help grow your business and take it to the next level. Before I sign off, I wanted to remind my listeners that you can reach out to my team for any services related to SEO, PR, content marketing, influencer marketing, and social media. We can help grow your business and take it to the next level. We'll be back soon with another episode of the Marketing Growth Podcast. Stay tuned.